This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's missionary messenger. And America, let's hear God's truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. Now, God has been giving us signs of the end. We are now in what is called the fifth trumpet, which is a time of learning. And that's why God's got me teaching you. So you'll learn the truth that you be not deceived. Now, you might like to entitle this chapter 11, The Seventh Trump Sounds, and then the beheading, The Two Witnesses. Now, last week in chapter 10, Jesus gave us seven thunders, but he said we do not need to know that because thunder follows lightning. And in the chronological order of events in this writing, lightning has already struck. Because when the seventh trump begins to sound, the sixth trumpet will have sounded, and that will be when the Antichrist is kicked out of heaven with his entourage. He's the devil with his Jesus costume on, the man of perdition, the destroyer, and he'll land his feet in Jerusalem. So in this story, he's already come. Now, we know that he is the next one after five. Now, tonight, I want you to understand, in this teaching, there is a secret in here to encourage the very elect. The rest of the church won't get it, but when it gets there, I'm going to tell you. It has something to do so that you will know very closely when Jesus is about to come, that you be not discouraged during the reign of Antichrist. Everybody got that? Now, I want you to understand that Revelation is not in chronological order. This is why people get confused. This chapter 11 is what is called an insert. He inserted it here to give the elect a secret message, and I'll tell you when we get there. Actually, chapter 9 was given to John after this one. This one was written before chapter 9. And chapter 9, we learned that the king of the bottomless pit is Abaddon. I call him Abaddon. It's really Abaddon, but I like to call him Abaddon. And that's the destroyer, and Apollyon, perdition, the devil. And we learned that his time is 5 months. However, in chapter 11, Jesus had not dictated that, so keep that in mind. Now, at this point, when we get to this first verse, the Antichrist will be here on earth, and the whole world will go after him, including half the body of Christ. They will think he is Jesus. They will think he's the Savior. And at this time, the seventh trump begins to sound.
Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod.
In the Greek, the reed is a scepter. But listen to this. It means to destroy, to beat, to punish. Oh, my goodness.
And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein.
Now, what does he mean here? Remember, when this will come to pass, Antichrist will be here, calling himself the Savior. He'll be standing in Jerusalem. The whole world, Revelation 13, will worship him, and half the body of Christ, because five are wise and five are foolish. Five have no oil and five have oil. You're getting oil. Oil is light. Light is the truth. Truth is the word. So what he means here, the temple. Check out those who are worshiping in the temple. Well, what does Paul tell you? You are the temple of the living God. Are you the temple? Okay, my middle name is temple. We are the church. So he says, check out my church people who are worshiping this fake one. And we got a rod to destroy him. Remember, half the body of Christ is going to be deceived.
Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city they shall tread underfoot 42 months.
Okay. Now, in the natural, 42 months is 3.5 years. This is called Satan's tribulation. However, remember, chapter 11 was dictated to John before. It's an insert before chapter 9. In Daniel, originally, the Antichrist's reign, Jacob's trouble, was 7 years. And in Daniel, God shortened it times time and half time, 3.5 years. In Mark 13, Jesus shortened it for the elect's sake, lest no one could stand it. And when we got to Revelation 9, we found that the king of the bottomless pit, who is Abaddon the destroyer, who is Apollyon, the son of perdition, has 5 months. He reduced it to 5 months. So what this 42 months means is, those people who are following Satan, all of his Kenites, the offspring of Cain, who are on the earth and preparing the way for him now, really taking over the world, and all of his demonic forces, and even the fallen angels coming with him, don't destroy them yet. Give them their hour. You understand? There's a purpose for this. Give them their hour, so don't destroy them yet. But do check out those Christians in the temple worshiping the devil, thinking he is Jesus.
Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses,
yes,
and they shall prophesy 1,260 days dressed in sackcloth.
Now we're going to talk about these two witnesses, but we need to check the days and the months first. This 1,260 days would also be 3.5 years, which originally the time was there. So this means also these two witnesses, a prophet is an anointed speaker. They're going to be anointed and speaking the truth during that reign of Antichrist. Again, remember that in Revelation 9, Mark 13, he shortened it to 5 months. Now, any time in the Bible that you have prophecies concerning months, you use the moon calendar. That reflects, that's the devil, okay? And we're the children of the day. So when it says days, we use the solar calendar. Now, solar calendar, a month has 30 days. So, got it? Now, the moon calendar, a month is 29 points, almost 30, but not quite. This is the great good news. This is not the secret yet. I'll get to that. But this is good news. And what it means is that the two witnesses are going to come on the scene a few days before Antichrist comes calling himself God. You see, God never drops us off at Hollywood and Vine without a spiritual babysitter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, who are the two witnesses? You will hear people say all over the air that they are Elijah and Moses. And they could be. But God does not tell us. And I'm going to tell you in the Greek, there's no gender there, so it could be a woman. So when God says, don't say it, we don't say it. But we will understand why people think it might be Moses and Elijah. Elijah never died. He was taken up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. And then Moses, God buried Moses. And in the book of Jude, Satan was trying to find Moses' bones and he couldn't find them. I mean, when God buries you, how dead can you be? Okay, and also remember on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospels, right beside Jesus when he transfigured himself for Peter, James, and John to see, there stood Moses and there stood Elijah, the law and the prophets. So that's one of the reasons they say that. But I will tell you this, the Bible gives us a clue. The two witnesses, first of all, that anointed, they're very highly anointed. The anointing means that Christ paints himself on you, and so you operate in his power. They're highly anointed. And here's a characteristic of these two witnesses. They always tell you there are two fathers. Remember, Jesus tells us in Matthew 13, the enemy that sowed them, the children of the wicked one are the tares, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And Jesus said in John 8:44, he says, you are of your father the devil. There was a seduction in the garden. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 that Satan beguiled Eve. Beguiled in the Greek, exopatio, wholly seduced. So they are in what these two witnesses have, what is called the Elijah ministry. And I'm going to document it from the Bible. The Elijah ministry, the spirit of Elijah, the anointing of Elijah, always tells you there are two fathers. Malachi chapter 4. God says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah, who will turn the hearts of the fathers, plural, to the hearts of the children, and the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers. They are two fathers. So these two are going to be telling you, any man or woman who has the Elijah anointing tells you of the two fathers. So we do that here. So I wanted you to know that. Now, do you remember John the Baptist? Jesus said he would have been Elijah except they would not have received him. He had the anointing of Elijah. You know what his first sermon was? Repent, ye generation of vipers. Generation in the Greek means children, really live babies. You babies of the devils. The viper is a serpent. In Revelation 12, the serpent is one of Satan's play actor names. He was the devil in the garden. He beguiled Eve. Come on, there are two fathers. And see, these two witnesses are going to be telling you about that and telling you, listen, this is not the right father, Christian. Come out of that. Let's find out some more about these two witnesses. Aren't they fascinating? Amen. Wonder who they are.
For these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth.
Now, you are a tree of righteousness, and olive is the oil, and that's where the anointing. Now, this is why some people think it's Moses and Elijah. And again, it could be because on Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah stood beside Jesus there. Now, olive is anointing. So these are two people who are very close to the Lord. Now, Zechariah tells us a little bit more about this. In Zechariah, the Lord was giving the man of God, Zerubbabel, a vision. And he showed him beyond the veil. Now, I'm going to do an insert, and I'll come back to Zerubbabel. You need to know, Christian, in these end times, since all the demons of the Euphrates River, we studied that last week, have been loosed, you need to know there's more going on in this room than you can see. In this place, it's holy. Occasionally, a demonic force comes in piggyback, but we catch it fast and it runs. Okay, they are angelic beings. You need to know it's a different dimension. They're also heavenly hosts. In my studio I had before this, it was holy. Demons were not allowed. If they tried to come in, believe you me, they do. They couldn't. However, the devil sent in my own building with a wall between us the most evil, pretending to be a business drug gang. And I would watch, and they would be peering in my window. I saw the demons. I saw their eyes. I saw their nose. I saw their mouth. I could have drawn a picture of them. They do exist. Don't let that frighten you. You just need to know there's more. Remember, we fight, wrestle not with flesh and blood, but the powers and principalities of the air. And you need to know this. Some of you just sit there like a dodo bird, and if a fallen angel comes and sits beside you, you're not even going to know it. And remember, you don't shh a demon. You just, in the name of Jesus, command him to go back where he came from. Okay, now back to Zerubbabel. The Lord gave Zerubbabel a vision. He let him see something. And so Jesus said, we call him the Lord Jesus, of course, Zerubbabel, do you know what this is? And Zerubbabel was like Ezekiel, I don't know. So Jesus said, what are these two olive branches through which the two golden pipes flow the golden oil from them? And of course, poor Zerubbabel said, I don't know. Jesus continued to answer. He said, these are the two anointed ones that stand before the God of the whole earth. Pipes. What do we do with our pipes? We speak. These two anointed ones coming just a few days before Satan comes in the sky, calling himself God's Savior. They're going to be piping out with the anointing and power of God. Amen. the truth to this world. In all of the darkness, the fallen angels will be preaching in the pulpit the gospel of the devil. And the Christians will have a great revival, except they're worshiping the wrong one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Golden oil, oil, oil. Truth, truth, truth. That's what they're going to do. Now, let's listen a little bit more about these.
5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies.
Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. Jeremiah says, fire shut up in my bones. You got a vision, you got a dream. It's like fire shut up in your bones. Well, it won't stay in my bones. It comes out. The word of God, anointed by the power of God, devours the lies. I mean, you hear somebody speak the truth, and if you're a liar, you start squirming. That's what it means. Now, here's another reason that some people think this is Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah called down fire, and the fire devoured quite a few companies of 50s. But in 1 Kings 18, the great man of God, Elijah the prophet, was faced with 400 Baal prophets, Baal representing Antichrist. Now remember that the gospel of the devil would be being preached at this time by the fallen angels in the Christian pulpit deceiving them. You understand? So we'll have our 400 Baal prophets too. So Elijah said, let's find out which God is real. Let's put a sacrifice on the altar, and the God that sends down fire will say that's God. So the Baal prophets just were happy about that. They put their sacrifice on the altar, and they jumped, and they danced, and they screamed, and they chanted, and they cut themselves all day long. Elijah taunted them and said, well, maybe he's on a little trip. And then in the manuscript, you'd have to read it in Hebrew. Then Elijah says, maybe he took a potty break. And of course, no fire. Then it came Elijah's time. Elijah put his sacrifice on the altar and did a strange thing. He dug a trench around the altar and filled it with water. We are washed with water by the word of God. And the fire came up and lapped up all the water and lapped up the sacrifice. You remember that the disciples said to Jesus, Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, Lord, can we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? He said, no, don't do that. So that is one of the reasons why that some people think it might be Elijah.
And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed.
Psalm 105 says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Jesus says in the Gospels, it were better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck than to hurt one of my little ones, mine elect. God's elect are few and far between. Romans 11, there are only 7,000 right now alive. And out of those doesn't mean they're all the witnesses. And so the elect are the pupil of God's eye, like an apple of his eye means the pupil. When you hurt one of God's elect, when you write them a dirty letter, when you call them bad names or lie upon them, or even look at them crossways or criticize their work, it's like you stuck your finger in God's eye. Somebody stick his finger in your pupil, you'd slap them, wouldn't you? They're going to get it, so be careful. Touch not mine anointed. Now, of course, ultimately, the lake of fire comes into existence at the end of the millennium, and all who are lost will walk into it.
6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy.
This is another reason some think it's Elijah, because he had that gift. However, I knew in my spirit there was more to this. When I'm studying, I study all the manuscripts, and I pray, and I listen, and the Holy Spirit will say there's more. So I said, what is it? And here's what he said. Hallelujah. I can't wait to tell you. Okay. Now, during the time that these two witnesses are going to be teaching, what they're going to be doing, those two pipes, they're going to be pumping that truth into God's 7,000 elect, so the elect will not be discouraged. But during that time, since everybody's worshiping the devil, Satan could just come back and wipe everybody out. I mean, Jesus could come back and wipe everybody out because they're worshiping Satan. But when it says shut up heavens, we know that when Jesus does return at the end of the reign of the Antichrist, Jesus is coming with seven vials, a cup of wrath, and it's a big mouth bowl, and he's going to pour it out like pouring it out from heaven on all the people who have worshipped the Antichrist. And so this means that God's going to restrain himself from coming. He's shutting up heaven not to pour out that vials. He's wanting to. He's racing at the bits. Everybody's worshiping the devil in his own church, half of those. But he restrains himself. Heaven is shut up from that cup of wrath so the two witnesses can finish their testimony.
And have power over watchers to turn them to blood.
Now this is why some think it is Moses, because he picked up his magic rod and turned water into blood. However, Revelation 17 says the watchers are the people. These two speakers, with the power of God during this reign of Antichrist, will be speaking the truth. And when people hear the truth, people will still come away and be saved. And even some of the Christians will come. People are still going to be saved. They will turn to the blood of Jesus.
And to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will.
Another reason some think it is Moses, because remember he brought lice and frogs. However, when all the world is believing a lie and enjoying it, the Christian church is going to love it, because Antichrist is going to say peace and safety cause craft to prosper. You can have anything you want. The government will give you any kind of free stuff you want. Just accept that this one is the Savior. That's all you have to do. They're going to be having so much fun. But these two witnesses keep saying, this is not the right Father, this is not the one, or whatever they say, and they get convicted. The truth will convict you. The word of God is powerful as a two-edged sword. And the Christians worshiping in the temple, the wrong one, they're having so much fun. At last, their church is fun. Isn't that what they always wanted? Didn't they think they were going to church to have fun? They didn't know they were going there to worship God and roll up their sleeves and knock the devil out of his place. But they'll be having the fun because the devil will be giving them that. And they're going to feel so guilty, it's like these two witnesses plague them. Haven't you ever had somebody aggravate you so much you said they're like a plague to me? Okay.
7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and shall kill them.
Now the beast of the bottomless pit, of course, that will be the Antichrist, and he's going to kill them. I love the word, don't look over this, after they finish their testimony. Listen to me. You have a destiny, and you have a purpose. The elect are going to be delivered up to Antichrist. Not one hair of your head shall be hurt. I have learned this in my life, with the fiery darts coming at me 24 hours a day, never a break from Satan, because I'm on the front line and I'm speaking the truth. I have learned that I'm not going to be taken out until I finish my purpose. And you have a destiny. Now you can take yourself out. You can give up and you can quit. But if you'll keep on faithful and true, steady, 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 let every moment be in that perfect will of his, that work will be finished. Now, how is the devil going to kill him because he's pretending to be sweet, nice Jesus? Well, here's how. Remember how subtle he is, how sly he is, old wiles? He's going to make the people think he's doing them a favor. I love you people so much, and I don't want these two troublemakers to bother you. And the people will say, yay, Savior.
8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified.
This would be Jerusalem. Now, the Bible says they're going to lie there and everybody's going to see their dead bodies. Sodom, because that is the great aberration sin of our time, and Egypt worshiping idols. God gave us a visual aid not too long ago, a few years ago. Remember Saddam Hussein's evil sons? They were named Uday and Kuday. If you keep up with the news, they were bad. They raped women, and then when they finished that, they put them in shredders and pulled their fingernails out and tortured them to death. Well, they got their Waterloo, and their bodies lay open on television, and everybody saw it. So here they are. They're lying there, and everybody will see it. We have the technology.
Verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves.
Now, mark the 3.5 days. Everybody's going to see it. 3.5 days. Why will Satan not put their dead bodies in graves? Here's why. Because over 2,000 years ago, because of Satan, the Son of God died, and his body was put in a tomb, and it lay there for 3 days. But after 3 days and 3 nights, that body arose from the dead. And Satan's children to this day say that somebody stole the body. Satan is enjoying so much. He always wanted to be God. And he's enjoying the whole world worship him. And he just loves the fact that half of the Christians are worshiping him. So he's going to make sure that nobody steals these bodies and say they arose from the dead. Why the 3.5? Because he's a one-upmanship devil. That's why. Now, let's see what happens.
10, and they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another.
Why?
Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth.
They were under such conviction of sin. When there are this powerful anointing, it is like the voice of God under that anointing, convicting the whole world, and the Christians worshiping and dancing and having pancake breakfast and barbecues and having fun in the church. When they hear this, they are anointed. They are miserable. When a person's under conviction, they are highly, highly tormented. So they're going to rejoice. Now, 3.5 days. Keep it in mind. This is a secret.
11, and after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them.
Praise God.
And they stood upon their feet, and a great fear fell upon them which saw them.
Now, the fear there reads epipeto in the Greek. It means a paralyzing fear, like when a scorpion takes his little pinchers and grabs its victim and pulls it to and makes it its stomach. He sticks his tail into the little victim, and the victim becomes paralyzed with fear. 3.5 days. Now, Jesus says, no man knows the day nor the hour when Jesus comes, but he gives us the order of the trumps, and he gives us signs. Here is a more narrow sign only for God's elect. When we say the hour of temptation, that means a 5-month period when Antichrist is here. It's not really an hour, is it? Okay. It says in the same hour. Okay, you can start the countdown. We see them. 3, 2, 1, 1/2. Now, listen to the scripture. He did not say the day in the scripture, did he? He didn't say the year. He didn't say the month, did he? Okay, so no man knows that. But this is close. This is for the elect. You can start watching. It's about to be. Jesus is about to come.
And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud.
Now these were two people. This was not the church.
And their enemies beheld them.
Goody, goody, goody.
13, and the same hour was there an earthquake.
There we go. The heaven shall part like a scroll, and the Lord shall descend with his entourage and land his feet there on that mount in Jerusalem. And that mount shall split in half. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus comes. That seventh trump is sounding, and as it sounds, Jesus comes.
And the tenth part of the city fell.
Jesus said in Mark 13, when I return, not one stone shall be left standing under another. The wailing wall down, see why we don't need a temple built. The Dome of the Rock, crash, smash.
In the earthquake were slain of men 7,000.
These would be the 7,000 fallen angels of Genesis 6 and of Jude that come back, Revelation 12, with Satan. They will be the fallen angels. It's interesting, we have 7,000 elect, Romans 11, who will not bow the knee, and then we have 7,000 fallen angels, the negative for the positive there. They, when Jesus comes, then the brightness of his coming will absolutely disintegrate them. They have been sentenced to perish just as Satan, to perdition just as he is. So that's the end of the fallen angels. They refuse to be born again, which means born from above, which means to come and be born through a woman. They would not. They came in Genesis 6 without being born from above and married the beautiful daughters of the man Adam, causing a lot of trouble. So they went too far. This is their end.
And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven.
Through every generation, there's been a remnant of the very elect, not the mainstream church, the oracles of truth, down, 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 down. The very elect will rejoice, those 7,000 who will not bow the knee. For we realize that we have endured to the end, and at last our Lord has come.
14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly.
Now, one of the angels said, after we had the fourth trumpet, remember this, he said, there are three more woes. So the fifth trumpet, which is sounding right now, I'm blowing that trumpet. I'm not the only one, but I'm one of those blowing that trumpet. This is a woe because I'm saying to you, woe unto you if you believe the lie, fly proverb and go to that first one, woe, woe, woe. Because the sixth one is Satan coming as Jesus, and woe, woe, woe if you worship him. And the seventh woe, when Jesus comes, he's coming with seven vials and pour them out, the cup of wrath about which he prayed in the garden, on all in the world who have worshipped the devil. The elect, not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
Amen. 15, and the seventh angel sounded.
There it is.
And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
And I do believe that George Frederick Handel at that time, who wrote Messiah under inspiration, total scripture, in 24 days, would lead the heavenly orchestra in the choir. And the Alleluia chorus, Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. The second coming of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, how beautiful is your word in Jesus' mighty name. We love you. We wait for you. We adore you. We thank you for this beautiful, beautiful word. How sweet you are, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now you want to make sure that you're saved now so you don't get deceived. So if any of you are not sure you're saved, will you pray this prayer with me? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me all my sins.
Omission and commission.
Omission and commission.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your
and use me.
And use me.
To pour out the oil of truth.
To pour out the oil of truth.
And enlarge your territory.
And enlarge your territory.
I thank you.
I love you. I love you.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Now, my announcer's about to give you my telephone number, so feel free to call and tell me that you were saved. Now I want to pray for those of you who are sick. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. Modern scientists tell us there are only 39 foundational diseases. All other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39 stripes. And so, therefore, with Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Oh, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the anointing of Holy Spirit, I ask that the healing virtue of Jesus flow out into everyone who hears now. Son of righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Go into the very bone marrow, and that which is deteriorated, build it back. Hey, build it back up in the name of the power of Jesus. Disc and spine and pelvis and legs. Open deaf ears and heads and brains. Schizophrenia be gone. Brains function. Hallelujah. Hearts and lungs in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Now feel free to call and tell me you were healed. Feel free to call me for prayer. You feel free to call me and tell me you appreciate this program. I'd appreciate that myself. And that means you. Each one of you is waiting for somebody else to do it. No, it means you. You're supposed to call if you're blessed. Now, I want to invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Come each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. And God bless you, and I love you. Stay in the Word. Now, I do not want you to be a dead Christian. No matter what's going on in your life, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I read the end of the book. We just heard it. Jesus is coming back. So just forget the problems and go on. Be about the Father's business and trust in the Lord. Some of you say you trust him. You've never trusted him but one thing in your life. It really is a faith walk. We are to walk on water. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. And we can do it. Proof here. Now remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." I love you very much. God bless and keep you. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Every time I try to tell you how I feel about you, I really feel about you. I can't find words designed that say exactly what you mean to me, 'cause you mean so much to me.
So much to me.
So I stop, I look up. All I'm really trying to say is that there's something about the way I've been feeling lately. I'm walking around with a great big smile. Another day. joy I've got pouring out of me. Your love is so deep, it's overwhelming me. I can't keep it in. I wouldn't even dare to dream that you could be so near to me. And all I ever wanna be is yours. There's something about the way I've been feeling lately. Walking around with a great big smile written on my face. How can it be? I'm bursting at the seams. I can't keep it in. I can dance, I can read, I can live what I believe. What's gonna stop the joy I've got pouring out of me? Your love is so deep, it's overwhelming me. I can't keep it in.
We're when deep were the wounds and dark was the night, the promise of your love you proved. Now every battle still to come, let this be our song. It is well. Trust your ways. Trust.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand, you never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find. God who gives and takes away.